Now, I think it's fair to say that there are fewer passages in the entirety of the New Testament that come with less baggage than this one, than Paul's instructions here to the church in Ephesus. It might be that you're here this evening and you've never been married. And frankly, you hear Paul's words about husbands and wives, and you think, what on earth has this got to do with me? Maybe you're here this evening and you've been widowed. Your husband or your wife has passed away. Maybe you're here this evening and you've been divorced. Maybe you're here this evening and you hear these words of the Apostle Paul and you feel guilty. You feel inadequate. Or you find yourself in a marriage where this just doesn't describe your daily experience. You see, this is one of those passages which really none of us come to without any baggage. None of us come to this passage and can skip through it and think, wow, this is wonderful. This is exactly everything that I see around us. Because we've all been damaged in some way by the fallenness and brokenness of the world. And so before we dive into it any further, I just want to say right at the beginning that forgiveness is always available to us. Because we're going to read these words and they are hard for us to obey. They're hard for us to always get right. But God says, through the Apostle John, that if we confess our sin to him, then he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even when we get things wrong in our marriages, even when we get things wrong with how we even think about marriage, even if we've never been married in the first place. You see, we are not perfect, and nor will we ever be perfect in this life. We are works in progress. But what I also want us to see this evening in this passage is that primarily I don't think that this passage is totally about our marriages, about how husbands and wives relate together. Because there is so much in this passage about what Jesus has done for the church. Instead, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he talks about how their marriages, how husbands relate to their wives, wives relate to their husbands. And this is going to go on, as we see next week, and children to their parents and slaves to their masters and masters to their slaves. But in all these things, how we live with one another in the world tells the world something about the gospel. It tells the world something about what our master is like, something about what Jesus is like, about what it means to follow the Lord Jesus. You see, marriages are actually supposed to be, in part, a little demonstration of the gospel, showing the world what it practically means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Well, firstly, let's look at the passage in a little bit more depth together. Firstly, we're going to see that submission shows the world the gospel. Submission shows the world the gospel. This is verses 21 to 24. Now, I have to say, I ummed and ahed a bit about where to start this passage. Different Bible translations, you'll see headers in our Bibles are not biblical. They're not there in the Apostle. He didn't write his letter to the Ephesians and start putting in headers as we went through. But here, some Bible translations will end the last passage at verse 21. Some will want to start it at verse 21 here. But that's because this verse right at the beginning, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, it both seems to fit with what's come beforehand in terms of how we are to relate to one another in the church, but it also goes on to talk about what our families should be like as well. And if there's a word that doesn't have very happy connotations in our culture, it's the word submit. Who in our society, who in our world, who likes to submit? And when we come to the newspapers and we see terrible abuses of power with the rich and the powerful, the Harvey Weinstein case in the media this week, and we see the way in which people have oppressed others and that people have had to submit, it's not a word that has, it's not a happy word in our culture. It comes with all sorts of negative baggage. But right here at the beginning of the chapter, verse 21, when Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is actually going to be a theme of not only what we look at this evening, but a theme of what we're going to look at next week. Because Paul is going to tell the church in Ephesus, he's going to tell us that wives are to submit to their husbands, children are to submit to their parents, and slaves are to submit to their masters. And funnily enough, chances are, you'll probably find that you are submitting somewhere in one of those relationships. Submission is actually something which touches upon us all, whether or not it's within the family unit, or whether or not it's simply submitting to the laws of the land. Verse 22, Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. But if you look on into verses 23 and 24, the astonishing thing here is as Paul tells wives to submit themselves to their husbands, Paul says a huge amount more about how that shows the gospel, how that shows what Jesus does in the church, than he does about submission itself. You see, if you look, Paul says in verse 22, there's an expectation that if we're Christians, that we submit to the Lord. That is, that in our Christian lives, that we say that the Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost, and we're going to seek to obey his commands and let him set the priorities and the rules for our lives. But then he goes on in verse 23 to say that Christ is the head of the church. It's as if he is the head and we are part of a body. And we belong to him because he's our Saviour. We as Christians, we as the church, submit to Jesus because he is the head who controls the body, but also because he saved us. He sacrificed for us. He cares for us. He's the head, so he knows where we are going. He knows how he is going to use us. And Paul says that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands because that reflects our relationship with Christ. Wives submitting to husbands shows off the relationship in some small way as a little picture, an illustration of what it means for the church to follow Jesus. Now, I think we have to be very careful when we handle the passage like this, not to smuggle in all sorts of unhelpful ideas from our society and from our culture and from the world. And when Paul says that wives are to submit to their husbands, the submission here is not some sort of 1950s housewife picture where the husbands are able to demand that their dinner is on the table when they come home at 5 o'clock on the dot, and it had better be sausages, and it better be 2 veg, not 3 veg. You see, that's not the type of submission that's in view here. As Christians, we're never subservient to the Lord Jesus. And there shouldn't be subservience in marriage either. But what Paul is talking about And as he's going to go on, he's going to quote part of the Genesis narrative a little bit later on in the passage. But Paul is thinking about reversing some of the effects of the fall. You see, on Sunday mornings, last week, we were looking at what happened in the second half of Genesis chapter 3. And one of the consequences for Eve, that God said to her, because they had eaten from the forbidden fruit, was that the relationship between men and women would be broken. God said to Eve that now her desire would be for her husband, and he would rule over her. There's a breaking in that relationship. They were made to complement one another, to serve alongside one another. And so when Paul tells wives to submit themselves to their husbands, it's as if he's asking the church to reverse some of what happened in the fall. Some of how things went wrong as a result of the fall. Now, wives shouldn't submit to their husbands in everything. Certainly shouldn't be submitting to something which would make them subservient, anything illegal, anything immoral, anything unbiblical. That's not what is in view here. Because Christ is the head of the church. Christ wouldn't make his church do something immoral or subservient or illegal or that would go against God's word. But in the context of the gospel, wives submitting to their husbands is about letting the husband set the final destination, steering the ship of the marriage, caring for the wife, giving himself for the wife. No husband can save their wife, but the picture is there, is that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands as the church submits itself to Christ. Secondly, then, love shows the world the gospel. You see, four times Paul tells husbands in the next verses, he doesn't tell them to boss wives around, he doesn't tell them to go and rule over them, he doesn't tell them to dominate them. Paul tells husbands four times to love your wives. Now, in an ancient culture where women didn't have, they were half a witness in a court, in an ancient culture where women were regarded as secondary to men, this is radical. Paul tells men to love their wives. Doesn't just say it once, doesn't say it twice, doesn't say it three times, but four times Paul tells husbands to love their wives. Why? Because it's a picture of the gospel. When husbands love their wives, they are demonstrating what Jesus has done for the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands are to love their wives because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for the church. He came from heaven to earth to live the righteous life that we never have, and then to go to the cross to bear the wrath of God and rise again from the dead, so that we as Christians could be presented as holy, as blameless. And that is how being prepared to sacrifice that much, that is how husbands are to love their wives. A deeply personal, sacrificial, expensive love that shows what Jesus has done for the church. That's how this submission and these love commands go together. Wives should be able to submit to husbands like that, And husbands should love their wives like that. Paul goes on again. He tells the Ephesians, he tells us, for husbands should love their wives as if they are their own body. Because again, because Jesus cares for the church. That's in verse 29. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Husbands are to love their wives because love shows the world the gospel. Husbands should love their wives and be prepared to give everything up for their wives' good. Because ultimately, the love of a marriage is a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church. See, I think Paul really, really quite brings a surprise on us when he's writing this lesson, because he writes in verse 31, he quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and he says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." He says, this is a profound mystery. We assume at this point, when Paul has cited this passage, we assume he's talking about husbands and wives. But then he says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. You see, the relationship between husbands and wives is to be a picture of the gospel. Husbands are to love their wives sacrificially. Wives are to submit themselves to their husbands. And this will show the world in practical way what the gospel is like. But the problem is, we don't live in that pure, in a pure and unfallen world. As I said earlier, we come to this passage with baggage. There'll be those of us here this evening who think, that's not my husband. He hasn't treated me like that. He hasn't loved me like that. There'll be those this evening who will feel guilt, who will feel shame, who will feel inadequate, who will feel like victims, who will long for their loved one who has departed this life already. And there'll be those who wish that they were married, but aren't. This passage is not to be a guilt trip for us. It's not to be a rod to break us. Because Paul is saying that in some small way, great or large, Christian relationships, Christian marriages, are going to show something of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Either as wives follow their husbands, or as husbands love their wives. There is always forgiveness. Because Christ loved us so much that he gave himself up for us to make us forgiven.